Well, this hour, we'll continue chatting with Rosemary Ellen Guiley about the Zozo phenomenon, and we'll also take your phone calls here on Coast to Coast AM. Next hour, open lines on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. We're going to take your calls here with Rosemary Ellen Guiley this hour. Rosemary, is Zozo dangerous?
I do believe Zozo is, because of its unpredictable, even abusive and violent behavior toward people. And depending upon the person, how able they are to resist that sort of thing, they can be deeply affected by it. Is someone likely to encounter Zozo on a spirit board? More often than not, probably no. Plenty of people have benign experiences, never encounter Zozo. But over the years that at least Darren has been tracking Zozo now since the late 1980s, its presence seems to be increasing. And some of that may be due to publicity. More people know about it. There might be an expectation or even a hope that it might show up. But yes, this is a very negative, potentially dangerous entity. And there are other entities like this in the spirit world who are capable of creating a great deal of havoc for people.
With Zozo, is anybody else researching this creature? Just you?
Well, Darren certainly started as the first. He set up a blog and started asking if any people had encountered this kind of entity. And that did stimulate an interest in other people as well. Some people have written Zozo off as just kind of a temporary phenomenon or sort of artificially created by the mass hysteria factor and expectation. But those explanations really don't account for all of the occurrences of it. Another explanation that's frequently given is that it's an ideometer kind of effect, that people are subconsciously pushing around the planchette to deliver messages that they would like to get or even might secretly fear to get. And here again, it's very difficult to completely rule out some of these explanations, and I think in many cases there's kind of a blurriness of things that go on, kind of an overlap. But it is it's part of the dark side of spirit communications. And because boards are so readily available and many people play with them and experiment with them, I think that's one of the reasons why this entity has used this particular avenue in its attempts to pester people.
Okay, let's go to the phones now. We go to Fort Myers, Florida. Elaine is with us to get things started. Hi, Elaine.
Hi. I've never forgotten about this. I'm 66 years old, and back in 1969, when I was 19 years old and my sister was 15 years old, you know, we had a Ouija board back then, and we played with it and everything, and I just decided to ask this question of, when am I going to die? And the thing just whizzed around. I said, are you moving this? And she said, no, I'm not moving. It just whizzed around and put all these letters and stuff on it. I don't even know if we even kept up with all the letters. What it finally said was, that I was going to die when I was 21. And I was 19. Said, okay, well, I've got 2 years to live. But my sister died 2 years later when she was 17.
Oh.
And
they had the
and
right
I
family,
never,
wrong person.
No, I will never play with the Ouija board again. I don't know if we let something bad in there when we were just kids or whatever, but she did die 2 years later, but not me.
Rosemary, the Ouija board doesn't do anything to you, does it? It just tells you things to be?
It's simply a tool. It's a communication tool, an interface. You potentially could get the same information through dowsing rods or automatic writing,
a pendulum, or a psychic.
Or a psychic. And people often blame the board, and people have called it, you know, that it's a demon board, and that it's guaranteed to open up the door to something negative, and that's simply not true. You can have a negative experience using just about anything, and I think it has to do with the prevalence of the board. But once people have a negative experience that affects them deeply, no matter what they've used, they're going to avoid it and consider it to be a bad experience. One of the mistakes that people make is asking about death. When am I going to die, or when is so-and-so going to die? And there are so many instances of uncanny accurate predictions for the manner of death and even the age or the date of death. Then there are ones that just totally miss the mark, but then something, as Elaine pointed out, something else bad happens that you still associate with the communication. And one of the things that trickster entities like Zozo do is they, in the beginning, when they're hooking people, they do provide a lot of accurate information, and that's what gets people more entranced with communicating with the entity.
Next up, we go to Ron in Oklahoma City. Ron, thank you for calling. You're on with Rosemary Ellen Guiley. Go ahead,
well,
Ron.
Well, I'm a first-time caller.
Okay, great.
I'm a first-time listener. And I was trucking down the highway, and I was trying to figure out what in the world are you people talking about.
What a night for you to call.
Well, so I'm trying to think, why in the world would anybody want to be messing around with that stuff? Why would anybody want to contact an evil entity? I mean, and I'm a Christian. I believe in the Bible, and I read the Bible, and I've tried to get in even deeper into other writings of Christ and other writings and trying to keep an open mind. But my question is why in the world would anybody want to mess with the dark forces of
great
world
question.
To begin with? You're a physical being. You got enough problems on your plate as far as living in this world to begin with. Why would anybody want to mess with that kind of stuff? I mean, I took my grandson on a ghost tour in San Antonio one time. And, you know, and my grandson was like, what do we might see? And I said, I don't know. And even if you do contact or see a ghost, what can you do with that kind of information?
But you started to do it for fun, right?
Well, sure. But, you know, but what can you do with that information? I mean, that's a total different realm. I mean, even if you knew that, I mean, people see all these UFOs and stuff. What can you do with that information if they don't ever come and land down here and talk to you? What good is that kind of information? I mean, it's curiosity and it's this and it's that. But if you can't contact them and if they're not going to land down here and talk to you, what good is it that you know that they exist and that you've seen them? And, you know, what good is that information? Because you can't build on it. You can't do anything with it. You know what I mean?
All right, let's get Rosemary's comments.
A totally different realm.
All right, thanks, Ron. Appreciate you being a first-time caller, too, and listening to the show. But that's a good question, Rosemary. Why play around with stuff like this?
Well, most people do not set out to contact evil entities right off the bat. I mean, yes, there are people who do court the dark side and for various reasons. And they may use a variety of methods to do that. But most people who set out on spirit communications experiments are not attempting to contact something that's negative. They're trying to see what's out there. And so as I mentioned earlier, many of them just wind up being blindsided by something that starts out benign or neutral or even friendly and then really turns on them and reveals itself as a malevolent force. There are opportunistic entities, and that is one of the hazards of opening up the door to the spirit world. So some people are experimenting. Some people are sincerely trying to contact people who have gone on to the other side, or they're just curious about what's out there. And they wind up getting a lot more than they bargained for.
They sure do. And those who think it's just merely fun, does it backfire on them too?
Well, it can. We certainly have had episodes that we report in the book where things have backfired on people. A lot of times, you know, nothing is going to happen. And When years ago, when we were going to do that Ouija board experiment on the air on Coast, you know, one of my biggest concerns was nothing happening, that the board would be fairly inactive.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably the biggest hazard of spirit communications, is that very little to nothing happens. But then you have these events where they just sort of explode on you. And so people do need to be aware of the hazards and to take precautions and to recognize the warning signs. And in the case of Zozo, Zozo has a telltale trail in terms of how it starts and where it leads. But in answer to one of Ron's other questions about what good is any of this, you know, if the physical proof isn't there, UFOs don't land on the White House lawn, and I think it's very purposeful to make contact with otherworldly beings and intelligences. And they're paraphysical. They're not really physical most of the time in our world anyway. They're coming from other vibrational realms, and so they're not going to leave a lot of physical evidence behind. But I think it's part of our discovery of who we are as human beings and where we fit into the great scheme of things in the cosmos to know what else is out there and how it is interacting with us in ways that we may not even be aware of.
We have first-time caller Noel in North Carolina. Hello, Noel. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hello. Thank you so much, both of you, for everything that you do. I love the show, and I like both of what you your work and everything.
Thank you.
I was calling to see what Rosemary had to say about a possible connection between Zozo and shadow people. When I was 2 years old, that was my first memory, is a shadow person coming through my room. And obviously, I hadn't used a Ouija board at that time. And I continue to see them throughout my life until probably about like six years ago.
Well, there is an overlap between the two. And what happens in a lot of these contact experiences and even manifestations of phenomena is that there's a lot of shape-shifting that goes on. There's a lot of blurriness of boundaries in terms of where one thing ends and another thing starts. One of the things that does happen in progressive deteriorations with Zozo is people will start seeing dark forms in their room, like shadow people, and bedroom visitations by dark forms. In the book, I talk about whether or not Zozo is a djinn, which has been one of my areas of specialty for the past few years. And Zozo does have a lot of, its behavior has a lot of characteristics of the djinn, and there's a big blurry overlap between demonic behavior and djinn behavior. Very difficult to separate the two sometimes. But one of the favorite forms that I have concluded happens with djinn is the shadow person, and that the djinn will take shadow person forms when they're attaching to people and pestering people. And so we have these similarities of traits between the Zozo personality and shadow people and djinn. It's some interesting links there.
You've talked about Z entities. Exactly what are they? Are they just all tied into Zozo?
They are, George. And this is a term that Darren coined in the course of his research, that Zozo seems to have these alter egos, and yet it all boils down to the same basic personality. And it usually announces itself by Zozo or Zo, or sometimes just the letter Z. Then there's Za and Zaza, and various other Z names. And we've even speculated on, is almost any Z name a potential alter ego of Zozo. And then there are two others that seem to be very pernicious. And one of those alter egos is Mama. And
Mama.
Some people have worse experiences with Mama than Zozo. And Zozo and Mama will get on the board and fight with each other.
Really?
We've had cases like that where they seem to try and push each other off the board.
Who wins?
My money goes down on Mama. And then there's Lily. And so we've speculated and we've interviewed people who've also had the same speculations that Lily might be an abbreviation of Lilith.
Drawn
some connections between Zozo and Lilith.
That's biblical. That's biblical. Let's go to Braden in Huntington Beach, California on the Wild Card Line. Good morning, Braden. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, Brother George. How are you doing, man?
Good, sir.
Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
Hey, I appreciate it. And Rosemary, it's a blessing to be listening to you tonight. My grandmother's name was Rosemary. She was very dear to me.
Well, wonderful. There's not too many of us Rosemarys around. It's
no,
a common name.
It's those eras have changed, haven't they? But go ahead, Braden.
Yes, they have. Well, George, I was calling to share an experience that I've had with you. This past year has been a completely life-changing, mind-blowing experience for me. I actually, they told me that they were going to come to me the day before on November 4th. And all summer I had been receiving signs, and like through synchronicity, all these different synchronistic occurrences were happening to me, and I was putting them together, and I felt that I was being contacted by something of a higher realm. And I still had trouble accepting it at the beginning. It kind of was like almost too real to believe. But then on November 5th, man, an angel came to me last year and revealed some things to me through videos and through synchronistic events that were going on in my life. And basically, and then they contacted me again about 2 weeks later, and I've been contacted again a few times. And actually, it's funny how they initially started revealing themselves to me. It was through like an alien connection. And at first, after the initial contact on the 5th of November, I thought it had just something to do with aliens. And 2 days later, on the 7th, I was walking down PCH, and I'm thinking to myself, oh man, I'm about to be abducted by aliens or aliens or something with aliens. And as I'm thinking this, I look up in the sky above the Pacific Ocean, and it's that night that craft flew into our universe. You can see, or into our atmosphere. At first it looked like a star, and it came down, and then it passed from left to right, released this like blue light energy show, and then went left back out into the universe. And it was right above me as I was thinking about them. It's almost like they were flying by to let me know that I wasn't tripping. And it was like the physical evidence to let me know it wasn't all in my mind. And so these events started occurring, and it was just really mind-blowing to me, and I started putting it together that it was more than just aliens, it was like angels, right? And then I found this 16th century painting from Kosovo of the crucifixion of Christ, where above him there's two crafts on each side flying from left to right, and inside them you see a man in each one reaching for controls, like they're flying a craft, like they're angels.
That's
flying
right.
A craft.
That's right.
And it's exactly the same as the craft that I saw. And the angel revealed to me that those are the same angels that have come to me. Like in the Bible I read recently, it says that in the final days, the Lord will send forth his angels to gather his congregation. Now, no man will know the hour or the day of the rapture or the return, but because he will send forth his angels to gather his congregation, so they may be spiritually prepared.
Well, let me ask Rosemary a question for a second here, and Braden and Rosemary. Rosemary, you've done a lot of work about angels. A lot of work about angels.
Yes, I have.
Do they ever get involved with Ouija boards, or do they ever cross over to communicate that way? I've never heard that.
It's very uncommon. Angels will usually communicate with people in other ways, usually through meditation or dreams or a visitation kind of experience.
That truly is remarkable. Now, the Zozo Phenomenon book is already out, right?
Yes, it is, and it's available online on Amazon. It's up in ebook format on Kindle, Nook, and Kobo.
Okay, stay with us. We're going to come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM and take final phone calls with Rosemary Ellen Guiley as we talk about the Zozo phenomenon, and then later on tonight, open lines. Okay, so the rest of this hour, we will take your phone calls with Rosemary Ellen Guiley as we talk about the Zozo phenomenon. I'm glad I never played around with that board or to try to summon up that thing. So we'll come back in a moment right here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back, Rosemary Ellen Guiley with us. Rosemary, amazing story, though, the Zozo phenomenon. Have you known about it for a long time?
I have for some years. When I started doing a lot of investigations in the paranormal, I started encountering this entity myself, and it made me curious because other people said, oh, yeah, Zozo. You know, Zozo is something that shows up. And meeting Darren and learning about his story and his research, It really made me want to dig deeper to try and uncover a mystery. And like anything in the paranormal, the deeper you dig, the more you find, and the deeper the mystery gets. And even though you get a perspective on the mystery, sometimes the final answers are still elusive. And I think we can conclude that Zozo is a negative personality that's capable of shape-shifting, taking various identities, of morphing itself to the expectations of human beings in order to take advantage of them, and that this is part of a pattern of dark side entities in general. I speculate that this entity that calls itself Zozo has probably pestered people throughout human history, just using whatever accessible forms and methods fit the times. And today we have a device, the spirit board, the Ouija board, that's available to millions of people. So I think it's found its preferred choice of method.
What's your recommendation today to people who want to use the Ouija board?
They should take some precautions about how they use the Ouija board. It should not be used when your energy is down, you're feeling poorly or depressed or tired or fatigued. It should not be used in party thrill-seeking situations, especially if participants have been using recreational substances. And it's a good idea not to work a board alone. Many people do, and some people very successfully, and have very positive experiences. But in cases where people fall victim to a predatory kind of entity, they often start using it by themselves because they become so obsessed with the communication that other people don't want to do it as often as they do. And that's kind of a danger sign.
Okay, let's go back to the calls. Let's go to James in Las Vegas, Nevada, west of the Rockies. Of course, hello, James. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm really humbled to be on your show.
Oh, thank you. Glad you called.
I have a personal experience of the Zozo phenomena.
What happened?
I was just a teenager. Well, I was 16 years old. I still live here in Nevada, in Las Vegas. And my parents were out of town, and I had the whole house to myself. And, you know, 16.
Oh, boy.
yeah, I was curious about the occult, stuff like that. I thought it was really interesting, you know. And I played with a Ouija board. I bought it at a pawn shop when we were on vacation.
Did you? Really now, cool. Were you by yourself, or did you have friends come over?
I was completely by myself.
By yourself, okay.
This was late at night. I was completely alone. I played with the Ouija board, and it was slow going, and I was messing with it for half an hour maybe. And then I try again, and the piece made a figure eight kind of pattern. And it went all left and right, askew on the board, and I saw it was in a O-Z, O-Z, O-Z. And it did that for just a minute. And at that point, I was completely mortified. I didn't know what to think. So I go to sleep. Now, this seems pretty normal.
Sure.
I have a dream, and it's a peculiar dream. I'm in a kitchen, an Italian kitchen. Now, it sounds like it's going to get off track, but it'll tie in, and I promise you, it's very strange. In an Italian kitchen in this dream, I see a large black brolic man in a chef's outfit. He looks, you know, he's a pretty big dude. He turns around, and in bedazzled letters on the back of his white uniform, his chef uniform, it says Big Zozo. And we're cooking spaghetti, right? And he says, get the spicy meatballs, put it in the spaghetti. I'm like, okay. I dropped a bag of meatballs. This is in my dream, of course.
Yeah.
I dropped a bag of meatballs, and he says, now you're going to get Big Zozo. And he assaulted me, he assaulted me sexually. I'm going to keep this PG, but he bent me over.
Well, that's it for you. So sorry about that, kid. Zozo has a habit, I guess, Rosemary.
Well, we've collected a lot of stories where people have had abusive sexual encounters with an invisible presence that's manifested after Zozo has been communicating, or it does come in some like a lucid dream or quasi, you know, an alternate reality kind of experience. The planchette moving and the figure eight is very characteristic of the opening salvo of this entity. And I mentioned earlier that if other communicators have been present, it pushes them out. It's a very strong presence. And I found that once this entity shows up in a communication session, the only thing to do is shut it down. And this is where people make a big mistake, that quite often they will let this entity run. And, you know, they're curious to see where it's all going to go. They might even be excited or thrilled. But the more you let this entity have a presence, then the stronger it gets and the more attached it is to your environment and possibly to you, the user. And so in the cases where Zozo has shown up in some of my spirit communication sessions, I shut it down. It's telling it to go away just doesn't seem to work, and you just have to end the session and shut the door very firmly.
Now, and sometimes, you know, this graphic description of what happens to you, is that far-fetched?
You know, years and years ago, I thought a lot of these things were far-fetched, but the evidence just piles up over and over again from independent sources, people who have had no knowledge of the occult or negative presences or have ever heard of Zozo or other hostile presences, and they report the same thing. And I think that these things do happen to people, and that this is part of the dark side of the paranormal. Now, as I've said earlier, the average person is probably not going to have a negative experience, may never have a negative experience, no matter what they use for spirit communications. But this shadow side, this dark side, this dangerous side, it exists, and people need to know about it so that they can be prepared in case the warning signs show up.
Let's go to Indiana. Hi, Robin. You are up with us. Go ahead.
Hi. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning to you.
I wanted to mention an experience I had with dowsing rods. I got them originally to communicate with someone that had passed and thought I was, and then something kind of crept into my mind that, you know, these dowsing rods are going crazy, and I was asking, you know, I wasn't communicating with the person anymore, and that I wanted to, and I thought, well, I'll ask a question of it just to kind of test, and I said, I asked, should I play the lottery? Should I play it every day? And it said yes, and I thought, okay. I don't know who I've got here, but that's crazy. And then another thing happened where I was leaving my apartment, and I decided to put the dowsing rods down, okay. But I was leaving, and I was looking back into my apartment, and I had the weirdest sensation of, like, a dark, shadowy mass rushing towards me, but it was weird because I was like that mass and I was rushing myself. And I thought, okay, this is, you know, I associated it with like the dowsing rods, like I had opened something. But when you were mentioning mischievous and dark, it made me kind of wonder if, you know, if it wasn't this Zozo or maybe a minion or whatever, you know. But I guess my comment would be, and I'm just an average person, and it was innocent enough picking these dowsing rods up, but I'm with you. I don't think we should be messing with things we really don't you know, we're not experienced with.
You know, Rosemary, the person who was so vehement when we were going to do that Ouija board experiment, Jordan Maxwell, just had a heart attack.
He did.
Yeah, I mean, he's alive. But sometimes I wonder if negative spirits try to attack people in different ways. What do you think?
Oh, many people who get involved in this kind of work, investigating the paranormal or research into spirit communications, entity contact experiences, do feel that they become targets. And I think that the dark side does not like to be examined. And people who pursue knowledge of the dark side or helping people overcome their difficulties and problems, you know, pushing the dark side out, they become targets too. And so people who work in these fields will often have ongoing problems. And it's always hard to say, you know, the specific things that happen could be directly related. But I think there's a lot of hazard in this end of things. I've certainly run into it with the djinn. The deeper I've gone into the djinn, the more they've kind of pushed back and pestered me in many ways. And for some people, especially those people who do exorcisms and really kind of violent sort of releasements where something is very powerful and very deeply entrenched, I think they're the most at risk.
Karen Dahlman, who you know, loves the Ouija board, swears by it.
Well, you know, Karen is part of a community of board users who have positive experiences, and we find many examples also in the literature of people who've had beneficial and benign uses. Every time I've gotten together with Karen, and I was just a guest in her house about a month or so ago, we've had fabulous board sessions, and both of us feel that a lot of it is just the way you're oriented. And if you, and here's another thing too for preparing and protecting yourself, that if you have a spiritual practice where you have a spiritual foundation and a focal point, regardless of what it is, and you put energy into it through spiritual study, contemplation, meditation especially is very significant, it changes, literally changes the vibration of your consciousness and your aura. And this puts you on a whole different level of access to the spirit world, and also in terms of what you're likely to attract and draw to you. A lot of the people who wind up having problems, they've got issues going on, they've got these background fears at play, anxieties, their lives might be in upheaval, and it does draw negative energy. I did find in researching shadow people, I spent over 10 years looking at shadow people, and a high number of cases involved people whose lives were in upheaval, and they were depressed, angry, sad, just going through great difficult times, and it seemed to draw these entities to them, and then when they got their lives sorted out, there was nothing left to attract these entities, and the experiences went away. But then other people have ongoing problems throughout their lives. These cases just get incredibly complicated with no easy analyses of what's going on, and quite frequently no easy remedies either.
No, not at all. Let's go to Luis in Patterson, California now, first-time caller. Hey, Luis, go ahead.
Yes, hi. Good evening.
Hi.
Good evening to you too, Rosemary. Listening to your program, I've been listening to you guys for, I would say, about 7 or 8 years. And my question is, okay, we've been going through a lot for probably 10 years financially. And what I'm trying to say here, we have been told before to our family that somebody has put a curse. We noticed that every July since 2006, we go through financial problems.
It's strange timing.
Yes. Well, July, every month, every year, ever since 2006, I can't be, I'm not really sure it says what day of July, but I've noticed that since July 2006. And then 2 years later, exactly 2 years, on July 5th, 2008, we were told later on, about 5 years later, that because we've been seeing a, how can I say this, a shadow in our house. My sister has seen it. My another sister, younger sister, has seen it at a different house. Me and my sister, we've seen it in the same house. My twin sister has seen it in a different house, like 22 years ago, and we saw it 15 years apart. Me and my sister, we saw it the same year. My younger sister and me, we saw it the same year, 15 years apart from my twin sister. And the interesting part was that we saw a dream tonight. Me and my other sister, my younger sister, and my twin sister saw it during the day. Oh, no, I'm sorry. My younger sister saw it during the day, and my twin sister saw it during the day, and I saw it during the evening. But then I was told by another person, because we saw a prayer, I'm not going to go into that religious type of thing, but I just want to say, I was told later on there was a saint, what we saw.
A saint?
Uh-huh, a saint, yes.
Well, you're probably pretty fortunate on that. Rosemary, how many people have positive experiences when they dabble with the other side? More or less than most people?
I would say that most people have a neutral to positive experiences. So I definitely don't want to give the impression that if you open the door to the spirit world, you're likely to have a negative experience. That's not the case. But negative experiences do happen. People do get surprised. They don't expect something bad to happen. It does, and then they're unprepared for how to deal with it. But most of our contact experiences are positive, and for the past almost 2 years now, I've been very involved in the Dr. Edgar Mitchell Foundation for mm-hmm. research in extraterrestrial encounters.
Right.
We've been analyzing the results of the largest ever global survey of experiencers, and this is experiencers of all kinds, and the majority of people say that their contact experiences are positive and not negative. And the negative experiences are out there, and some of them are quite horrific, but most people say they have positive experiences. They're transforming. They feel that it's important for the development of consciousness and for humanity as a whole to have these experiences. And I think we do need to look more on the positive side. You know, the negative side, it does get a lot of press, and I think we have to be prepared for it. A lot of my work is devoted to helping people deal with the dark side.
Well, that's important. Rosemary, keep in touch with us, especially with those black mirrors that you've done some work with. Wow. Up next, open lines on Coast to Coast AM.